Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You like that one? We'll turn the lights on in a minute. You'll figure out why I got the lights off. I promise we're going to turn them on. Y'all be able to read. Anyhow, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What does that mean? It should always be on your lips. Your praise will continually be upon my lips. I mean, it's over and over and over again in the Bible about saying the word and speaking the word. And we've been going over saying and speaking and saying and speaking and the controlling of the tongue. We're doing Wednesday nights, the taming of the tongue. But you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to what? May observe to what?
Do.
It's just two letters, but it's really hard. It's just two little bitty old letters, but it's very difficult to get that thing done. That you may observe to do according to what? All that's written in it. In what? The book of the law. Then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Everybody's looking for the prosperity and the good success. But there's a qualifier here. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You ought to be talking about that thing, thinking about it, so that you'll do it. This is a doing church. We say what? What is our mantra, huh? Do something. You've got to move and get it done. But for some reason, I still have trouble getting a hold to the do. I still have trouble getting a hold to that thing. I wake up in the mornings and I feel like I haven't done enough. I get close to the day, I don't feel like I've done enough. I mean, it's just this insatiable or this unfulfilling hunger to do something constantly in me. I never feel like it's enough. Never feel like it's enough. And I don't know what the answer is other than just to do more. Do more and keep doing and keep doing and don't stop and keep moving. Keep doing. And don't let anything hold us back. Mike, you got my stuff ready? Maybe. Yeah. All right, huh? Can somebody get the lights for me? I'm sorry, I'm a Star Wars, all idiot. If it has to do with stars, I'm in it. That's why I wore my shirt. Did y'all see my shirt? It's given to me by some friends of mine, you know. Coffee I need. Oh, I can't do Yoda. Who can do Yoda in here? I can't do Yoda. Can you do Lolo? Can you do Yoda? Yeah, there you go. Coffee I need. Or kill you, I will. But his face is kind of jacked up. That's not really Yoda. I don't know who that is. Yeah, that ain't Yoda. I don't know who that is. See, this church, we got a lot we're fixing to do. We've got a pretty big task in front of us. We've been called by God not only to reach a town, but to reach an area. Like whenever you look at the map, you have to kind of pull out a little bit to see what it is that this church has been called to do. You can't focus just on Broadway in this corner right here. You have to pull further and further and further out. And the further out you pull, the further you need to go. There's this yearning in the spirit for more. Like Paul says, we want our arms to be longer, not necessarily the size of our building, which we are going to increase the size of our building, but that's just so we can reach out further than what we're doing right now. And each one of you that's a part of this church and regular, you know, I mean, if you call this your church home, each one of you is going to be required to do more than what you're doing now. You're going to be required to pray more, be required to study your word more. You're going to be required to put your hand to more ministry, more doing. And sometimes that can kind of come across a little bit scary and a little bit hard, and there ain't no way we can do that. And I don't have that attitude at all, and I know very few that do, but we have to be very, very cautious that we're not like Luke Skywalker and looking at a task that's been put out in front of us and going, my God, there ain't no way we can do that. We have to be careful with that thing. Or either the task that God has put on your heart specifically and go, you know what, I don't think I can get that done. We have to be very careful of that thing. Because here's the trick. Just like what Yoda was saying right there. If you make up your mind that you're not going to try to do something, that you're not going to try to minister, that you're not going to try to go out there and get somebody saved, or that you're not going to try to show up at Saturday morning to work at Joe LeBlanc Food Pantry, or you're not going to, you know, you feel, well, I'm going to try to go over here, and we're going to try to make it. We're going to try to be there to help sack the bags. And, you know, we're going to try to set across some time. I'm going to try to start putting some time together, you know, 15 minutes a day just to pray. I'm going to try to do that, and I'm going to try to get in my word, and I'm going to try to start taking notes whenever Pastor Paul is preaching. I'm going to try to do that. If we have that kind of mentality, we will be here on this corner till Jesus comes back, doing the same thing that we're doing today. There is just a scream in my spirit about it's time to do more. It's either do or do not. There is no try. We can't try to get this thing done. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you'll meditate in it day and night. That's all the time. That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Good success does not come. According to the word of God, good success does not show up until you begin to do. And before, what do? You do what you've been meditating on. And what is it that you've been meditating on? Is the book of the law. You got to back into this thing to figure out what God's trying to tell you. You want the good success, you want to be prosperous, then you got to do something. And I promise you, you are going to do something. The question is whether or not it's what God really needs you to do. There's enough trying from these folk in here. My Lord, enough of that. We finna get busy. Bid was turned in for the building this week. Can I say that? I can tell them that, can't I? It was turned in this week for the building. Now, there's some red tape and some hoop jumping we got to do, and we all understand that. But it's not too far along from now. We're going to have our X-wing fighter is going to be in the pond, and we got to figure some way of getting that thing out. Oh, by the way, I wore my Darth Vader shoes. See that? See, Darth Vader's the enemy in Star Wars. And see, he's under my feet. So the whole thing. I'm not going to take my pants off and show you my underwear, though. I'm not going to do that. No, I don't have any socks on. I'm rolling with toe jam today. I'm going to have some toast later. Put my toe jam on it. Have y'all ever tried that? That stuff's good. What was the problem with Luke? Luke was too busy looking at what the problem was. He was too busy making. He tried to do it. He looked at the problem. He knew that he could accomplish whatever he needed to accomplish. And so he went after it and tried it. Gave it a shot. But somewhere, whenever that ship started to rise a little bit, something went on up in here in his little brain. His little brain pan said, "Oh my God, what am I doing? Wow. Right. It's too big. This is too big. This is too big." And the enemy is going to hit us. I'm just warning you. This is not a doom and gloom message, but I'm just warning you. He's going to hit us with, "It's too big." I mean, he's already started on some of the, you know, I mean, he's done hit all of the four of us. Yeah. It's too big. It's too much. And you get to thinking in your brain, man, I can't hack this thing. I can't do it. But I'm reminded whenever I start thinking too much, I'm reminded of something Jesus said. Mike, I don't have this back here. This is John chapter 7, verse 37. Can you find that for me, boss man? I didn't give him that before we got going. I got it during praise and worship. This is John chapter 7, verse 37. Yeah, there it is. And on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Go back to verse 37. This last little bit. Y'all know that the Holy Ghost is the helper, right? You're the doer, he's the helper. We know that. If you don't know that, then read John chapter 16. It tells you that the Holy Spirit is the helper, the comforter, the strengthener, the standby. He ain't the doer, but he's the helper. It's kind of like whenever Yoda was trying to move that ship out of the water. Yoda didn't do it himself. He used the force to get the thing done, right? Same difference, you know? We're not necessarily using our own power, but the Holy Ghost needs us to get after doing something so that he has a person to work through. No, you got to go back. You messed me up. One more. There you go. Thank you. I wasn't ready for that. I know what you was trying to do, the flow. But I want to show you something else. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, "If anybody thirst, let him come to me and do what?" Don't think. He didn't say, come to me and start thinking about this thing and figure out whether or not it worked. Can you do it? And if you, you know, does he doesn't say, come to me and think. He says, come to me and just drink. And if we drink from the cup that's in his hand, the cup that he's given us to drink, if we drink from that thing, the doing is so easy. Because now we don't have to do this under our own power anymore. It's not based on whether or not we're smart enough, good enough, pretty enough, fancy enough, got enough money or not. It has nothing to do with that, but everything to do with what the Holy Ghost is trying to get done. So I urge each and every one of you, whenever you start hearing things from the pulpit and your brain goes, shut it off, man. Shut it off. That's the reason why the tongues is such a big deal. Yeah, we're going to talk about tongues, okay, just for a minute, and I'm not going to make anybody come up here and do it in front of nobody else, okay? You want to? Yeah. Yeah, Paul would do it, see? Come on. You want to come preach? We can tag out if you want to. Be like the Rock and Roll Express. Any of y'all know, some of y'all remember Rock and Roll Express, don't you? Midnight Express. There you go, Roger. Yes, sir. Rock and Roll Express. It was a tag team wrestling group back in the 80s. Woo! I was back whenever wrestling was good. It wasn't no skin show like it is today. This was wrestling. Them boys was in there to just hurt each other. Jake the Snake, you had Junkyard Dog, Staggered Lee. Man. Woo! Skandar Akbar. Great Kabuki, the Von Erich brothers. Woo, man. Leaping Lanny Poppo. Dusty Rhodes. Hacksaw. Man. Ric Flair. He's still there. There you go. Wow. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, tongues. We're going to talk about tongues. Let's talk about tongues for a minute. Why do you think so many people have a hard time with the tongues issue? Think about yourself if you have problems with the tongue issue. The issue of tongues. Because they think too much about what's going on. They worry. They fear. There's another movie I like to watch called The Last Samurai. Y'all ever seen that? Woo! Tom Cruise, all up in that thing, boy. Yeah. Well, I got something I'm going to say, and then I'll get off of it. During this thing, Tom Cruise starts learning how to be a samurai sword warrior guy, all right? And they're practicing with these swords, and he's with this guy, and he just keeps getting put on his back, and keeps getting put on his back, and keeps getting put on his back, and keeps getting put on his back, keeps getting put on his back. So he's doing something. It's just not very... He's just not doing a good job of accomplishing what he's trying to do there. And this little Japanese kid stops him. And he looks at him and he goes, too many mind. He goes, mind the people. Mind the this. Mind the that. Church, it's too many mind going on in here. Get to doing and drinking instead of all this thinking you're trying to get done in your little old head. Because you will think yourself completely out of the best that God has for you. People that do not pray in the Spirit and allow the power of God to flow out of them. I mean, because that's what he's talking about. Go on to the next verse, verse 38, please. He believes the scripture said, as out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about this, saying that these rivers are going to flow out of your belly, but yet we have thousands upon thousands of, I would even go far as say millions of Christians that do not participate in this flow that Jesus was talking about because they're too busy thinking and not spending their time drinking. They're trying to get the thing done. They're not doing it. Been filled with the Spirit? Well, I've been thinking about it. Wrong answer. You know, I ain't got time. I've told y'all before that If any of you are ready to be filled with the Spirit, you just let me know. When you're ready, then I'm ready. Because the Spirit of God's ready to go. But I'm thinking about it. I just don't know. And that is why you fail. And I'm using that as an example because we allow the enemy to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. How? Right here. In another movie. I got a lot of movies today. Another movie is called Dune. Y'all ever seen Dune? Came out in the mid-80s. Had Sting in there. You've never seen Dune? Oh, dude. You're missing out. Anyway, it's a story about Paul. It's not Atreides. Yeah, it's Paul Atreides. Paul Atreides, who is the chosen one, called the Quizax Hatterack. All right? And he is there to deliver his people, right? But at the very beginning of the thing, he has to prove that he has the gumption, the internal ability to be able to accomplish this major calling that's on his life. So he has to put his hand in this box, and it starts like an itching, and then it goes into a burning, and it almost feels like that his hand is just burning off of his arm, right? And they get into this thing, and in his mind, he keeps saying that fear is the little mind killer. Fear is the little mind killer. Fear is the little mind killer. Because if he jerks his hand out of the box, there's a lady there with this thing on his neck, and she's going to kill him. Fear is the little mind killer. Fear, my brothers and sisters, is the exact opposite of faith. Faith will go and do something, but fear will freeze and lock up. And I know we know all this stuff, but my heart's just screaming out. I mean, fear is going to stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. If the enemy could keep you scared, he could keep you still. And if he could keep you still, he could keep you from doing anything. If he could keep you from doing anything, then you will not make your way prosperous and you will not have good success in things of God. That's the trick. That's the hoax. That's the wiles of the wicked one. If he can make you stop, he wins. I mean, who's the auto? I mean, if you're in a battle or if you're in a fight or you're in a game or anything, and you quit in the middle of it, you're an automatic default loser. You lose immediately just because you stopped. I don't know why I'm all up in that. That wasn't what I was going to talk about. But it's decent, huh? Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 14. James 2, 14, and then we're going to get out of here. Because it's a pretty day outside, and the birds are chirping, and somebody's got golf to play, looks like. Yep, so. Man, we got some word, man. Sometimes it's not the quantity, it's the quality of what you receive. It's great. Okay, James chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if somebody says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute daily food, and any of you says to them, 'Depart with peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things that which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" And then verse 26, if you go through to that, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Oh, you already got it up there. Go back to verse 14. This is we call this the New Century Version. Wow, different versions of the Bible. My brothers and sisters, if people say that they have faith but do what?
Nothing.
Their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that serve them? Go to the next verse. A brother or sister of Christ might need clothes or food. You say to that person, "God be with you. Hope you stay warm. And get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs. Your words are worth
nothing.
It's his birthday, so we'll be coming. Yeah, I tell you, got my back. You just heard get out of here early and you're trying to rush me. I know what you're doing. This ain't my first rodeo with you. Look at that. But if you say to this person, "God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat." Wow. Yeah, I just want you to pray with me. Will you pray for me? Yeah, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Right. That's what I say in my brain whenever I talk to people, you know, it's like, hey, man, I'm kind of dealing with this thing. Yeah, I'll pray for you. I get the yeah rights in my head and I move on. That's why the food pantry is such a, I mean, it's like a shining bright star to me in this area, because we're getting stuff done, you know. And the area, you know, the people with their naysaying and all that kind of thing, whatever, man. We're feeding people. We're feeding them. They don't have food. We're giving them to them. We got some clothes over there. We did have some clothes over there. We're going to clothe them. And this new place that we're looking at and where we're going, my gosh, we will be able to fulfill just about any need can be met out of that place. Anything in the physical and in this natural world. But it's all backed by a group of people that are just stupid enough and crazy enough to believe that God can do anything as long as he's got somebody to work through. And they're not afraid. They're not scared. They're not worried about whether or not they've got enough or they're going to be enough. They just know that God is going to do what God said he's going to do no matter what. And they're willing to drink from the cup that's in his hand and not going to think about everything that's going on and not going to worry about all the mess around, but simply just do what God said. One more. I thought that was my last one. I got one more. Matthew 16, and you don't have to turn there, just listen. Jesus, this is verse 13. Let me go back to 13. I'm going to do what angel does. Jesus asked his people, the disciples that were with him, he says, who do men say that I am? And they said, some of them say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, other Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But then he said something interesting. But who do you think I am? I mean, God, Jesus can be one thing to your mom, daddy, aunt, and uncle, but who is Jesus to you? He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter rose up, and Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There is a gate that is trying to keep us out. The enemy has a gate put up right now. And on that gate, it's like the big black gate in the movie the Lord of the Rings. Return of the King. Big black gate. And they had them big ogres that would open the gate up. And that gate, a gate is not an offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon. It's supposed to keep us out. And behind that thing are millions of people that the day that they die, their souls will be there in torment for the rest of their, all of eternity. What is it, every 3 seconds or 2 seconds somebody in the earth dies? Is that right? Somebody, two or three people die. Constantly, folks are dying all around us. And most of them are going to hell. Why? We're the church, man. Jesus died for them. I don't want to get into it, but the Bible, you know, it talks about in Revelations about their names being struck out of the Lamb's book in life. The Lamb's book of life. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before time began. I believe that the names are already in the Lamb's book. He wrote them all down. He died for everybody. And they don't ever receive him. And their names are blotted out. They didn't make the cut. Why not? Because they didn't know about Jesus. Why not? Because somebody didn't tell them. Why not? Because they didn't go to tell them. They were too busy playing church, showing up on Sundays, singing a few songs, and then going home and doing nothing. No faith. Come on, Stephen, I'm done. We have a huge task in front of us, CCAM. It's time to rise up and to quit thinking about what we can't do and begin to put our hands to what's in front of us to do. Yes, do something. Yes, get after something. But don't let the enemy stop us from thinking, stop us by thinking we cannot do something that God has called us to do. You can do it. You can do it. You can make it. You can accomplish everything that God has called you to accomplish. I promise you, you can do it. All he's looking for is some crazy people that will believe his word and act upon it. Let's all stand. You all right, man?